Okay. Yeah, greetings from the studio on an early Friday morning for me, which is late in the afternoon for most people. It's time for Bob Davis Podcasts number 496, the Bob Davis Podcast, the new talk. And in this podcast on Fridays, I put up the Bob Davis Podcast radio show for the week, which I produced, all night last night, along with a lot of other stuff. Got finished about 6 this morning or so. So I wanted to just quickly get this show out. And just to quickly tell people that one of the cool things about this show that I really like is that it isn't exclusively just kind of a rehash. There's new content. There certainly are new ripples politically. This whole show this week, the Bob Davis Podcast radio show, is about politics, just given the fact that the developments we had last week. So without it, without going on and on about content, what's cool about it is that there is original content at the beginning of every segment and the first segment of the show. So we're going to get started. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show number 25, which is heard on the Patriot at AM 1280 in Minneapolis and St. Paul. As we get new affiliates, we will let you know. So let's roll. Let's roll this thing. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. As you know, I am a podcaster and talk show host. One of the things I've learned in the years that I've been doing this is all media is different. As a podcaster and talk show host, I can tell you podcasts are a little bit more conversational in formatting in digital media. There's no time limits. So there's a lot of content from my podcasts that would never get on the radio. And the mission of this show is to take content from the Bob Davis podcasts back to the radio. So that's what we do in this show. Now, this was a tumultuous week in American politics, so we have a lot to talk about in the show this week, as we have talked a lot about what happened this week with Indiana in the podcasts this week. Donald Trump's Indiana primary victory resulted in the departure of Ted Cruz, which was a huge surprise, as well as John Kasich from the 2016 presidential race. Since Tuesday night, the Republican Party appears to be coming apart at the seams as Republican establishment types go every which way in the wake of this victory and the presumption, which may or may not be presumptuous, that Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee. Both former President Bushes are reported to be refusing to attend the GOP convention. Vulnerable Republican senators are decrying a Trump candidacy, saying he is bad for the so-called down ticket, as I've talked about. Speaker Ryan was booed at a Trump rally this week. There are rumors of a third-party anti-Trump ticket. And as if to add insult to injury, Hillary Clinton is going after establishment Republican donors, saying that she is a better representative of their values than Donald Trump. This is one of the reasons I refuse to say Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, because anything can happen and anything might happen between now and the Republican convention in Cleveland late this summer. Politics in this country is increasingly tribal, as media appears increasingly willing to be spoon-fed news stories with little actual reporting. Pollsters and pundits use their skills to shill for candidates. You're either okay or someone to be shunned, depending on what group you're talking to and what tribe they belong to. And so it's necessary for me to say I am not a member of any political tribe anymore. I find myself increasingly alienated and disgusted by the whole process, which is a good thing for what I do, because finally I am free of having to feel some loyalty to a candidate or political party or, again, a political tribe. All along, I've refused to endorse a candidate, and all along, I have actually not had a preference even. I've never once regretted the idea that I actually not have a preference for any of the candidates. I don't like any of them. I didn't like any of them. I don't think I'm going to like any of them. There are days when I feel like I'm watching an election for junior high school class president given the antics of these candidates, and I don't say that lightly. It's really unbelievable. So for people that might say, well, what is it that you want, as the chair creaks here in the studio? Well, and I've said it before, but I'll restate it. I want a substantially less powerful federal government and a substantially less powerful state government. The sad reality is that as a nation, we have been allowing our representatives at the state house and in Washington to inexorably increase the power of government in general. And quite honestly, it's choking us. Cutting the Gordian knot of the power of government is going to take a committed movement of citizens, a generation or more, to undo the state and federal statutes that have given such power to government. And it isn't going to get done with a cult of personality that follows one man or woman, or the development of a tribe that feeds on the emotion of the moment. So no, I don't care who's elected, because we're not even close to denting the government Death Star. It's still up there in orbit, and bringing it down is going to take an awful lot of work, the kind of work the current generation of Americans just don't seem to be up to. So if you ask me what my biases are, there you go. No, I am not a member of any political tribe, because it is a waste of time. I get up every day and I ask myself one question: why is it again that we need a government at all? Someone please tell me. And I think that's a pretty good place to start when you start talking about or thinking about politics. With all due respect, and there isn't much due, this is the worst crop of supposed leaders to emerge from the swamp we call politics in a very long time. Now, that's just the flat out truth. Another truth is, this is a fantastic point of view for somebody who makes an attempt to analyze what has happened and what is happening for listeners, because I am not campaigning for any of them, because I can't stand any of them. Now, I do respect people who are putting forth an effort to work in the political process, whether for campaigns or organizing in general, and that respect extends to those who are working in the Clinton and Sanders campaigns, as well as all the campaigns on the Republican side, because I respect people who put forth an effort to work in the political process, whether they are working for campaigns or organizing in general. And I think they all deserve our respect as good citizens. Why do I say that? I say that because there are a lot of people that sit on the couch and watch television and get upset about what is going on and feel angry and disenfranchised and frustrated, but they don't do anything. And when you work in politics, when you actually go out and work for a campaign or work on an issue-based thing or just do service for your local BPOU, you learn a lot about politics and you don't feel so frustrated and disenfranchised anymore. And you learn, you know, layer after layer after layer of what's required in politics. So it's a great process of learning. And we tell people all the time, this is what they should do. And if campaigns and issues and people were able to get more people off the couches and into service, then politics in this country might be substantially different and less rhetorical and less tribal. You know, there are certainly no guarantees, but I think if there was a little bit less watching of television, as I talked about in last week's show, especially the news, and more involvement, things might be a little bit different. Who knows what that might be, but we're never going to know. That's why I think Mandy is so great and other people like her are great, because they are actually taking an effort, making an effort to work and do something and accomplish something. So we're going to talk to Mandy Benz later on in this show. And while it is disappointing to say, implicit in this effort to work for a candidate or an issue is the possibility that you'll lose, or the possibility that your candidate will eventually suspend their campaign, or that you won't carry the day. But that's part of the process, and no one can take away the lessons that you learn in that process. In this installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, we're going to start with Tuesday night in Indiana, where Senator Ted Cruz shocked his supporters with the announcement he would be suspending his campaign. We're going to talk to one of the state organizers for the Cruz campaign in Minnesota, someone who has done everything we have exhorted people to do for years to get involved. And we're going to get the raw reactions of Mandy Benz to the Cruz withdrawal Tuesday night and her thoughts about the future. Finally, we're going to talk about what happens if Trump is the nominee of the Republican Party, which the media keeps telling us is a fait accompli. Maybe so. What about Trump supporters and the Republicans in general? What happens to them? Does the party fracture? Will there be a third party candidate? Is the establishment done? And will Donald Trump usher in a whole new Republican Party? On this installment of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, coming up, the Ted Cruz announcement this week that he was suspending his campaign was a shock to his supporters. With the withdrawal of Kasich a day later, Trump is being referred to as the presumptive nominee. What happened to Ted Cruz? Next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more episodes of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Back in the studio just ahead of segment two of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, number 25 for this week. Companies large and small love these team building exercises. And as soon as it usually gets warm, that's when they start doing stuff outside where you have to rappel off a cliff or you do some kind of rafting or even walking across coals. And if you're the company athlete or you love that sort of thing, you know, that's great. But if you're not that person, then it can be terrifying. So if you are the person that suggests team building exercises or you want to try a team building exercise that really builds creativity, let me tell you about Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. This is a new, sophisticated, and fun way to bond with employees. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed and social setting. What happens is your people will paint a painting. It's an actual painting, but you don't have to be an artist. And it's not about being an artist. It's not a competition. What happens is an artist guides your team through the featured painting step by step. There is no experience necessary. Your people are going to be amazed at what they're able to do. And it's a great opportunity for all people on your team to bond without having to walk across coals. Brush Studio events are designed for left brain people to bring out the right brain, and that means ideas. And it is so much better than spending all day in a freezing or too hot hotel conference room or, you know, rappelling down some cliff somewhere. They have room for 55 people plus catering from Crave in the West End at Brush Studio. Brush Studio features over 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection. So here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page or visit brushstudio.net. There's a video there that shows you how it works. People really have a good time doing this. This is a really hot thing to do, and your people are going to really appreciate it, and they're going to come away with a bonding experience that they won't forget, and that will be really great for everybody, even the guy who likes to rappel, even the woman that likes to walk across hot coals. 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. Brushstudio.net. Brushstudio.net. All right, here we go. Here comes segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, number 25. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit the Bob Davis Podcasts. To hear more of this show, visit GCNLive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, where we take some of the content from the Bob Davis Podcasts back to the radio. So, as I predicted last week, a Trump victory in Indiana would change the media storylines for the future, and that is certainly true. We have certainly seen that happen this week in ways that could not have been predicted. Certainly, I could not have predicted that Ted Cruz and John Kasich would suspend their campaigns within 24 hours of Trump's victory in the Hoosier state, but that is indeed what happened. So let's go back to Tuesday night just briefly.
I am so grateful to you. What you have done, the movement that you have started, is extraordinary. I've said that I would continue on as long as there was a viable path to victory. Tonight, I'm sorry to say, it appears that path has been foreclosed. Together, we left it all on the field in Indiana. We gave it everything we've got. But the voters chose another path. And so, with a heavy heart, but with boundless optimism for the long-term future of our nation, we are suspending our campaign. But hear me now, I am not suspending our fight for liberty.
Well, one constant in politics is that there's always surprises. Indiana has produced a result that is going to affect the Republican campaign now for the rest of the summer. Trump wins the Republican vote in the Hoosier state with 53%. Cruz, though, is second with almost 37% of the vote. Kasich is a distant third with just under 8%. So with just, you know, I wouldn't call it a terrible performance. I wouldn't call it a trouncing. Certainly it was 15 to 20 points for Trump, and the polls kind of indicated something like this would happen. But why would Cruz drop out of the race? As I said, his performance is slightly better than the primaries out east 2 weeks ago, Delaware, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, and so forth. Well, nobody knows why. It is surprise and it's shocking. Even some people in the campaign and supporters were shocked to learn that Cruz was suspending his campaign. You know, there were rumors. There was a Gallup poll which suggested Cruz's image was plummeting, which started around the 1st of April. Some think it started around the time the Republican establishment began to make noises about supporting Cruz, which is the kiss of death for an insurgent candidate, supposedly. I don't know that there's anything that points directly to that. It would look like it might be causation because it started to happen at relatively the first, of April and mid-March. Certainly announcing Carly Farina as a running mate last week was a move of desperation, as I said, and I don't think it helped. I don't think it was presidential. I think it was desperation, a Hail Mary, an attempt to win Indiana and particularly California. There were rumors that with the polls showing Trump ahead by nearly 20 points, a result that came close to the actual vote in the end, confidence in the campaign, in the Cruz campaign from within, was crumbling because of the so-called path to the nomination appearing to be impossible. And the thing is, people, it was improbable at best anyway from the very beginning because Cruz's appeal is very thin. And if you look at Super Tuesday and shortly after that, he didn't win some of those key southern states, which, like, for example, South Carolina and Georgia. But he has hundreds of delegates. And as I said, he won several important states, including he won Texas and Wisconsin. So even if he didn't win states like South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and Florida, His organizers were at least making inroads to getting delegates to declare their support for Senator Cruz on a second or third ballot. The only thing that was necessary was to stay in the race long enough to deny Trump enough delegates to win on the first ballot. Now, pundits can say that that strategy looks to be in danger post-Indiana. But on the other hand, and this is what I don't understand about this, if all Cruz had to do was stay in and wrangle delegates, why quit? I don't understand it. It isn't that I'm shocked because I'm not a Cruz supporter. I'm not a supporter of anyone, but it's very weird. The Cruz campaign had to know that they probably might not win in Indiana or even win all the delegates in Indiana. But You know, he had some bright spots. If you look through the congressional districts, and not all of them are in, but he also did very well in Indiana's second congressional district, which is home to LaPorte and Elkhart. It's pretty much mid-northern Indiana. He did well in Indiana's third congressional district, home to Fort Wayne, and in the fifth congressional district, which includes the northern part of Indianapolis. Trump did best in the first district, which is home to Gary and Michigan City, and in the ninth district, which is southeast of Indianapolis and includes Evansville and eastern Terre Haute. So what happened in this thing? Well, one thing I think that you can say, which is probably going to upset some people, is that it's clear to me that Trump's message is resonating better with people who call themselves conservatives than Ted Cruz. And this goes back to this whole question in the Republican circles about what is a Republican, what is a conservative. And I know that there are Democrats voting for Trump, but it's beginning to look like many quote-unquote conservatives are moving toward Trump as opposed to Cruz as a representative of what they feel conservative politics are. So in other words, people voting Republican are settling on Trump as opposed to Cruz as a candidate. That's significant. Clearly, the Never Trump movement, one of the dumbest things I've seen in politics in many, many years, at least as another takeaway, has completely failed to, quote, stop Trump, unquote. I take a dim view of talk shows, talk show radio hosts, and bloggers who feel they have to jump in and fight against or for particular candidates. It's unnecessary, and I don't think it serves anyone, because I don't think anyone cares what I think about who you should vote for. And on the same lines, I think that there should be some serious questions for conservative candidates asked in the future about the wisdom of encouraging people like Glenn Beck to campaign for the candidate, especially given the religious and especially the end times and fasting overtones to at least Beck's campaigning, lending the impression that you had to be a Christian evangelist to be able to really understand and support Cruz. I think that hurt Cruz's campaign. Next, we're going to hear the raw reactions of a state organizer for the Trump campaign in the wake of the suspension of the Texas senator's campaign to win the Republican nomination. We're going to talk to Mandy Benz from the Ted Cruz campaign next. To hear more of the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. In the studio, drinking my coffee, listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show for the week. This is show number 25, and you can hear it on the Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul at AM 1280, or right here on the Bob Davis Podcast, or at gcnlive.com. Bunch of different places to hear it. I put it up here because you can hear what it actually sounds like, because between compression on the satellite and compression and audio at the radio station, I want people to be able to hear my commitment to quality when it comes to these things. So that's one of the reasons I put it up, because I want people to be able to hear it as it is. So yesterday, I had a crazy day. You know, I started out by doing all the usual stuff that I do with sales, and then I went to do yoga, and I decided to double dip two yoga classes, one hot and then a power yoga class. And it was tough, but I had the Hydrus, and I often talk about Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. It is a high-performance beverage that you mix with water. It uses exclusive nanosome technology to get critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness. There is no sugar in it like there is in all these other hydration products and traditional sports drinks. And the thing is, if you practice yoga and you're in crowded rooms of over 100 degrees, the second class I did last night, I was sweating almost immediately because there's high humidity. There's a lot of people. you can easily get dehydrated even if you drink a lot of water, because coffee dehydrates you. It also takes a long time to hydrate. So if you drink a quart of water before a class, you won't get the benefit of that until about 35, 40 minutes in. Whereas with Hydrus, boom, you're rolling and you're not sore. So what it does is it allows me to take it to the edge and do things like double dip. And then very shortly here, I'm going to go do a sculpt. So, and I'm not sore. I feel great. And at my age, that's amazing to me, because I thought soreness went with the territory. Hydrus will help you take it to the edge, whether you cycle, do CrossFit, lift, or do competitive sports, or even if you just have a recumbent bike that you ride up and down the bike trails, you'll be amazed what it can do for you. Hydrus will help you take it to the edge, and that's where you grow. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit hydrusperformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. There's all kinds of content on there that explains what it does and how it works. Wrestlers are using it. University sports teams are using it. Tennis players are using it. There's a whole bunch of research being compiled about what it does and how it works. Check it out, hydrusperformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. All right, let's do segment three of the Bob Davis Podcast. I had a check of the Bob Davis Podcast radio show for this week. Boy, I'm so glad it's Friday. Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of this show, visit GCNLive.com. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Given the tribal nature of American politics these days, especially Republican politics, you might be surprised to hear that some people don't just sit on the couch and eat Doritos, watching Fox News, and complaining about politics. Some people out there have given up a lot of personal time to run for office, to work in their local political units, to work for campaigns for statewide and federal office. Now, you might not always agree with these people, but they're out there getting the work done, and because of it, they are leaders. One of those people in Minnesota is Mandy Benz. She ran for state representative a few years ago, losing by a tiny margin, but that didn't stop her. This year, she signed on with the Ted Cruz campaign in Minnesota as a state coordinator. Tuesday night, she joined the Bob Davis Podcast right after Ted Cruz's announcement to share her rather raw reaction to the suspension announcement. What was your immediate reaction?
Well, I'm shocked, I think, like a lot of people. It's hard when you put your heart and you put all your effort into supporting someone who you believe is on the right path, and what I believe and what many of us believe, the conservative base were coalescing around for liberty, for America, for our Constitution, for everything we love, everything we talk about, and all the reasons why we do get involved in campaigns. Ted Cruz gave me and many others that reason to continue down the path, to use our skills that we have developed along the way through other campaigns, whether folks campaigned for themselves running for office or helped another candidate run. This was our place to put our efforts and our heart and really test our movement. So, yeah, it's tough. Definitely.
The Indiana loss could be predicted, I suppose. I mean, certainly the polls suggested it might happen, but the suspension of the campaign is just a shocker. You know, I don't understand why that. Why do you have any idea why he might have done that?
No, I mean, it's hard to put that into perspective right now. I think there's a lot of fresh feelings, a lot of emotions that are all over social media. I guess we're going to have to let some of this dust settle, so to speak, and see. The concern going forward are how much involvement will the base now have? And also, what are the results and what are the effects on future elections that are coming up? This isn't just about the presidential race. We have local elections. I'm concerned about that. The concern would be even a step further with Trump being on the ballot. That was a concern kind of going into this for many of us. Why many of us did get involved is I think that brings down the ticket. Now that looks like that will be obviously the sure thing going forward. what will the base do? What will we do? What is our next step? We don't know all the answers. We're not expected to know all the answers. I don't know what the healing looks like. I don't know what the uniting looks like, how much uniting. I don't know any of that. Days are before us.
They haven't told you anything about whether they'll release the delegates or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know without really, that's what the next days are going to be into, just reading RNC rules. What are the rules? What does this look like? What is the protocol? Those types of things. And that's when the pieces start coming into play, when we start understanding what is before us. And until we really know that, it's really hard to have a fair discussion moving forward, what we expect, what we need people to do, what are the next efforts. There's a lot out there.
What do you think happened in Indiana? Obviously, you're watching all this just like the rest of us. I mean, what's your take on is it possible that the quote-unquote base made a decision to vote for Trump instead of Cruz? And why do you think they did that?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, I'm always baffled, in my humble opinion, as a person, why folks are supporting Trump. I think the conversation has been from the very beginning. I think most of us think the same, as far as we know government's gotten out of control. We know that moderates have sold us down the river. I know that's been a continued issue, especially in Minnesota. I've dealt with that on a personal level running for office. So I think coming into this election, I don't think that Trump people and Cruz people were all that different. I'm not sure where the breakdown of that went, some people went one way, why others went. I really don't know the answer to that. That still remains to be seen. I guess that's maybe that's a thing for psychology in politics that I'm just not. My responsibility is to coalesce people, get them organized. So I wear kind of different hats, political hats, when it comes to something like that. But everything's been shifted. Everything we've ever known about politics has been thrown out the door. This is the year that, seriously, the status quo, there's no status quo this year. I mean, that's gone out the door. So I guess it's one positive thing. And perhaps that challenges our thinking. Maybe we need to have this. Maybe this needs to happen because we need to really consider what we're doing here and how we're doing it and really getting to the root of the problem. I think this is a direct reflection of that. And, Minnesota does have some concern as far as how we organize on the grassroots level. I think that is a weak spot for Minnesota, absolutely. So the skills I've learned through the Cruz campaign, I believe, for me, that's something that I take to heart and I take under my belt, and I can utilize that. What is the next step? I don't know what that is totally yet, but.
Well, I would think I can tell you for a fact that the skills that you've learned, and we talked about this earlier too, but the skills that you've learned doing what you've done, you can apply that to any future candidacy, your own or somebody else's, because those are skills that you've honed and developed and mm-hmm. really, for Ted Cruz's campaign, the people that worked, you in particular in Minnesota, but others, this is not a time to throw all that away, because what you did was really good. I mean, for your candidate, you worked really hard, and it's easy to go, well, what was it all for? But you now know, they can't take that away from you. No one can take what you know away.
True. Yes, I own that for sure. I mean, that no one can strip me of that. That's for sure. It's just a matter of what is the most effective. Will it be that I go forward and train at the grassroots? I've never seen a grassroots organization in my life like I have on Ted Cruz's campaign. That has been amazing. It should go on record as the most organized grassroots campaign in our entire history of any GOP candidate to date, period, bar none. And that's exciting. And that having been a part of that, I can tell you that's opened my eyes to a whole nother level of what we can do in politics and how we really can be effective. I wish I would have known this when I ran before. Would I have done a lot of things differently? I don't know. I mean, but there's room for improvement. There's room to move forward. And then we also need to seize the opportunity that's before us. So then I need to think about, what do I do next? Is that training candidates? Is that going and speaking? Is that starting a blog? Is that, what is that? I don't know what that is, but somewhere along the line, I'll be utilizing what I know. I can't keep that all to myself. I'll be active. I was just getting started, man. I was getting started. What the heck?
I don't understand what happened, because this wasn't that dismal a performance. Yeah, Trump got 51 or 52% of the vote, but, you know.
Yeah, I think folks were ready. Folks were ready for to go into a contested convention, and we were prepped for that. Our mindset was for that. So, you know, tomorrow is a new day, I guess, and I suppose we'll leave that to a greater being than ourselves to kind of handle some of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Good luck to you. Thanks once again to Mandy Benz. Yeah, the media says Trump is the presumptive nominee, and they can certainly make that claim now. But the convention is ahead, and all hell is breaking loose inside Republican ranks. What happens if Trump actually is the nominee next? This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Just ahead of the final fourth segment of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, number 25 on the Bob Davis Podcasts. As the dryer is running in the background, I'm down in the studio Friday morning, which for me is really Friday afternoon, just drinking my coffee and getting ready, drying my stuff to get ready for my next yoga class. I want to thank the sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show and the sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcasts, this podcast, Brush Studio. Don't forget, you know, if your company does these events, Brush Studio has this really hot new thing that everybody really enjoys, which is painting a painting as a group. This gives you a chance to bond with your team. And these events, Brush Studio events, are designed for left brain people to bring out the right brain. And that means ideas. And that is so much better than almost anything else you can do. So if you're the team building guy at your company, don't forget brushstudio.net. You visit brushstudio.net. You can look at videos and see what they do and how they do it. An evening at Brush Studio gives a business owner the opportunity to spend quality time with their team and help build creativity. That's what it's all about. Thank you for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. And of course, Hydrus, which I'm getting ready to Hydrus up before my yoga sculpt this afternoon, which is a quick turnaround from the double dip I did last night. Yeah, I'm on the edge, and it's a choice, and Hydrus helps me take it to the edge. H-Y-D-R-U-S. This is a high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to get critical electrolytes into your system with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, and there's no sugar in it like there is in traditional sports drinks. HydrusPerformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com, and thanks again. Thanks to the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcast.com. Pilots, if you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives because it's great to have a visual representation of your angle of attack when you are finally getting ready to turn for the final approach. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for a great video. It takes you to their page with a great video that shows you how it works with a U-2 pilot flying the final approach. And all kinds of other information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. You can click on that at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com page. All right, here is segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Let's go. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Remember, for all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show and to all the podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. So let's get back into it. Welcome back. In the wake of the Trump victory in Indiana and the suspension of the Cruz and Kasich campaigns, with assistance from the RNC chair, the media has now crowned Trump as the presumptive nominee for Republicans this summer at the convention in Cleveland. Suddenly, elements of the Republican Party are refusing to attend the GOP convention. A leading Democrat is openly courting top establishment Republican donors. Former GOP candidate Mitt Romney is saying he can't support Trump. Vulnerable senators are saying the New Yorker will hurt their chances for re-election. It sure looks like a civil war in the Republican Party to me. So calling Trump the nominee before he actually clinches the title at the convention might be presumptive indeed. What has happened to Republicans? What will happen to Republicans if Trump is the nominee? What if Trump is the nominee? And I'm asking this of people who are Cruz and Rubio supporters and Bush supporters, and even also Trump supporters. Already, we're seeing the same kind of thing now with Democrats that we saw with Republicans for Cruz and the establishment before the East Coast primaries 2 weeks ago, where Trump opened a huge lead. He's a bully. If you're a woman, you're going to vote for Hillary. If you're for women, you should vote for Hillary. If you don't, you're a creep. He's a xenophobe, whatever that is. If I even wonder if people actually understand what a xenophobe is. It's not a word that I use very often. He's an authoritarian. Again, these are words that make you sound really intelligent at the party with all of the other people who have PhDs and masters, but I don't know that they actually mean anything. And of course, he can't win. It's impossible for Trump to win. He can't win. They said that about Trump from the very beginning with the Republicans. He's not going to win. He can't win. He's not going to, because everybody thought Jeb Bush was going to be the nominee. Today was the big story about, you know, adding up all the polls and saying, well, here's Donald Trump and he's starting in a huge hole, meaning that he's, you know, Hillary Clinton, all the polls showed that she would beat him. Bernie Sanders would beat him in a general election. And in particular, with the Electoral College, I saw a piece last night about how even if things go well for Trump, he's got an Electoral College problem because nobody in Florida is going to vote for him and nobody in New York is going to. I mean, this kind of thing. And you just don't know if that's true. Could he win Florida? Absolutely. You know, New York? Maybe. I don't know. It depends. New York's obviously very much a blue state. I don't think Donald Trump's going to win Minnesota, but I'm not going to go say he's not going to win Minnesota at this point. We don't know how things will go down, but I'll give you a couple things to talk about. It is fair to suggest that the media has paid far too many compliments to the so-called Republican field at the start of the primaries. And I don't think that the Republican field was that great. I think they made Trump look good because most of them were simply not ready for prime time, even though some of them were previous candidates in previous election cycles for president. And I don't want to minimize Trump's accomplishment in besting a field of 17 Republican campaign, experienced veteran campaigners. But going up against the Democrat machine in the form of Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders is far different from going up against broken down Republicans like Jeb Bush, Rick Perry, Chris Christie, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, and John Kasich, or politicians or neophytes. You know, two different things in this list that I'm going to give you now, but we have some politicians, you know, experienced politicians, but we also have some neophytes in this list who have a very narrow appeal, like Rand Paul, Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Carly Farina, and Ben Carson, or even virtual unknowns like Jim Gilmore, who nobody even knew Jim Gilmore was in the race. Who were all up on that debate stage. And the truth is that none of these challengers were ever really that good. Certainly, Scott Walker had a constituency in Wisconsin. Rand Paul had a constituency with the former Ron Paul type people. Ted Cruz had a constituency. Marco Rubio was seen as an establishment candidate. Carly Farina didn't really have a constituency, but she was the only woman in the Republican race. Ben Carson didn't, just kind of fizzled. He was the only black candidate in the Republican race and the only candidate that might even be considered cerebral in the race. You can go through the whole list. Jeb Bush didn't, his heart was never in it. Rick Perry, I don't even know what he was doing there. Chris Christie, after Bridgegate, has no hope for national office. Rick Santorum has run 100 times. Mike Huckabee, don't even get me started. John Kasich, you know, I think acquitted himself well, but nobody could really understand why he remained in the race other than the fact that he was the Ohio governor, and I think they wanted him in there, and he won Ohio. So there's that. But again, none of those challengers were ever really very good on television and really very good at connecting with people in today's political environment. I'm convinced Trump's arrival in the race was unexpected and therefore immediately discounted by the establishment until it was too late, as is common with new things and new different things. And sometimes brilliant things are often viewed as being strange or weird or stupid, and people discount them until it is too late. It happens all the time, and it happens in all kinds of fields. And as I've said, the Republicans' huge field and so many scheduled debates turned the whole process into reality television, which ends up benefiting a candidate like Donald Trump. I'm very concerned about what will happen in the next election cycle with the primary process, because we are very close to turning it into a popular vote runoff, which is not something that our electoral system constitutionally calls for. And I realize we have 50 individual states with 50 individual elections, and delegates have to be selected in some way, shape, or form. But political party primaries are not part of the actual constitutional election process, at least at the federal level. So this is kind of a misshapen, half-born chimera, this primary system, and I don't like it. And I've often said that it's really something for the media, and this benefits people like Donald Trump. I've also often said that the Republicans deserve Trump because, by and large, the rank and file Republican voter is very, very rhetorical, very emotional, and it is often, you know, the Republican electorate described as angry and frustrated or disenfranchised. Two, at least, very emotional themes, and they aren't concerned so much about the issues or learning about issues as they are about getting somebody who can win by hook or by crook. I honestly feel, after talking to Republicans for many years, both on the radio and, you know, in person, going to these meetings, that really what they want is somebody who can win the argument over the back fence, and that's Donald Trump. It's revealing that the two representatives of so-called conservative politics this year turn out to be Donald Trump, a trade protectionist, a nativist, and Ted Cruz, who is an evangelical and self-described constitutionalist. With both of them, there is a pronounced lack of command of the issues or plans that have any real meat to address specific problems in our time beyond totally destroying ISIS, and that's a quote, or making America great again, or bringing back Reagan's prosperity, which sounds good, which gets people, I guess, you know, fired up. But getting there is another story, because the problems we have today are different from the problems we had 30 or 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 70 years ago. Now, if Trump is the nominee, and for the rest of the summer, all you're going to hear about is how he can't win. Well, the truth is Donald Trump can win the presidency, and he might win the presidency. And I think that's going to be, for Republicans, the hardest part may actually be a Trump victory and a Trump presidency, because we don't know what he'll do. And I don't think Republicans know what he'll do. I don't think he knows what he'll do. He could be a great president, and he could be a disaster. It all depends on how things work out. But more importantly, he could be a disaster for people who are quote-unquote conservatives. So things are going to start happening fast and furious now as we head toward the convention, and you start to see the real fissures in the Republican Party looking at the specter of a nomination for Donald Trump as the Republican national candidate. I still think it's premature to say that he is the nominee, because I think that these fissures are really, really powerful, and we're going to have to see how it all shakes out. So that's going to do it for this installment of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, you go to gcnlive.com. Boop. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake. Yeah, I was in the dark. I was falling hard with an open heart. I'm wide awake. How did I read the stars so well? I'm wide awake. And now it's clear to me. Everything. Three, two, one. Well, there it is. That is the final segment of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks for listening to the show on AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Thanks for listening here at the BobDavisPodcasts.com on Stitcher, iTunes, or TuneIn. You can certainly listen right off the page, but you can also load these apps onto your phone or your Android device, your iPhone or Android device. Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. iTunes, of course, is best for Apple devices. TuneIn and Stitcher work pretty good with Android devices, unless you already have iTunes on your Android. And thank you for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. Got two great contributions this week from listeners for Mobile Podcast Command. We're getting ready for summer operations, and so any contributions you make on the donate button at the BobDavisPodcast.com goes directly for diesel fuel and getting that vehicle ready for summer operations. So thanks for your donations. Thanks for following me on Instagram. I'm BDavis 7843 and following on Twitter at Bob Davis Podcasts, and of course Facebook, and thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on the BobDavisPodcast.com, and for subscribing. I should mention that because we love subscribers as well. Anyway, this is the show for this week, Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 25. Thank you for listening to podcast 496. Time to go have a weekend.